Today's passage is Luke 19, verses 1 through 10. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be with the guest of a sinner?" But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today, salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost."
To climb a tree. I don't know about you, but I love to climb trees. I can't say that I have done it recently. Some of you would tell me that I'm too old to do that now. But I love to get up in trees and have a perspective from up above. My mom's mother would not allow us to climb trees. I've told you about that before. She could be asleep on the couch and we'd go outside. And as soon as the first foot got up into the tree, she was out the front door yelling at us, "Get out of that tree." It was a perfect mulberry tree for climbing. And I remember one day that my brother called me and he told me, he said, "Shane and I," his oldest son, he said, "Shane and I today climbed that mulberry tree all the way to the top." Very first thing I told him was, "Liar." You see, Grandpa had decided that he was going to build a duplex on the lot where the tree was growing. And they had pushed the tree down. And my nephew and my brother walked the limbs all the way to the top of the tree while it was laying on the lot. And then I remember after the duplex got built and my grandfather moved in, it was a three-story duplex and he had one half of it. And along the line, property line between his house and the house next door was a row of holly trees. Grandpa, Pop-Pop, had both my uncle and I up in the trees with chainsaws, cutting out the limbs so that he could see the lake and the sand dunes and the bay much better. He stood there on the third level and he said, "See that limb right there next to you? Cut that one off. Cut that one off." And both Uncle Billy and I thought about, what would Nanny say? We're 20 foot up in a couple of holly trees with chainsaws cutting out limbs. I'm sure that her grave was disturbed quite a bit that day. I enjoy climbing trees. I enjoyed it when I was in forestry class and they gave us spikes. And they said, "Here, climb up that tree." Man, I loved it. Deanne's probably thankful I don't have my own set of spikes because I'd be up this tree and that tree and just a lot of fun. You see, this scripture today is about a man climbing a tree. A man who was short. A man who couldn't see over the crowd. A man that was a chief tax collector. Now, he was not just a tax collector. He was in charge of tax collectors. So I told you last week as we talked about the tax collector in that parable that tax collectors bought the right to collect taxes in a territory. And they paid the Roman government so much money, they paid what the tax was due for that territory, and then they made their money by collecting over and above the taxes to make sure that they had money to live off of. Zacchaeus is a chief tax collector, so that means he's in charge of a number of tax collectors, and that means that he is charging them, and the people then in turn are charging even more, so that Zacchaeus is making his money by getting a cut from what tax collectors are collecting. A very rich and very prestigious man in the town of Jericho. And you see, he found out that Jesus was coming to town, and he wanted to see Jesus. Well, he was of such a position in the town that he could have done it this way and told his people to go talk to Jesus' people and tell Jesus to come to my house because I'm so important, he needs to come visit me. You see, he could have done that. And that's probably the way it would have been done most of the time, is for him to say that. Jesus is passing by, and Zacchaeus must have a look at him. He must see him. He wants to understand him. He's heard a lot about this Jesus and the different things that Jesus has done, and he does want to see him. But for some reason, he doesn't take that normal route that he could have taken as a chief tax collector, and he does something very uncharacteristic. He is willing to run and climb a tree. Out of character for a man of his standing. He is willing to run to go see Jesus and to climb a tree. Totally out of character. You see, he was of such status that he didn't have to do this. He was of such status that it looked poor upon him for even to run. That looked poor upon him. And he decided not only would he run, but he'd climb a sycamore tree. And then he'd get up in the midst of this tree so that he could see Jesus. Now, isn't that interesting? He's willing to be totally out of character for something. And the scripture tells us that Jesus rewarded his effort by inviting himself to Zacchaeus' house. Jesus rewarded Zacchaeus' effort by inviting himself to Zacchaeus' house. Now, how'd you like to have that? Jesus all of a sudden says, "Oh, I like what you did. I think that was interesting that you set aside your normal character and the way that you feel, and you so much wanted to see me that I'm going to invite myself to your house." That's what happened that day. And you see, people started talking about Jesus, though. Because remember what I told you last week about tax collectors? Or, well, let's just make it simple. Take what you believe about IRS agents. Take what you think about them. And imagine seeing one of them wanting to see you so much that you invite yourself to their house for a meal. Anybody going to do that? The IRS man calls you in and asks you, he says, "I want to see you." And you say, "You know what? I'm glad you want to see me because I want to invite myself to your house for dinner tonight." Imagine what some other people would be saying about you because you did that. Not just would they be saying you're crazy, okay? But they'd be wondering why you're doing that. And you see, they didn't think well of chief tax collectors. So they start saying, "Well, you know what? Jesus has decided to go to the house of a sinner and eat with him." A sinner. Well, first off, let's be realistic. We're all sinners, aren't we? Does anybody not? Raise your hand. We're all sinners. We've all done wrong. We've all lived against the commandments of God, and we've done something wrong in our lives. But they're giving Jesus a hard time for going to the house of a sinner. I want to let you know that this week Jan received a phone call on Thursday from someone from a church in another town, and I'm not going to name the town nor the church, telling us how bad we were for having trunk or treat. They blasted this church for what we were doing, because that is of the devil, and you shouldn't be doing anything of the devil. And I give Jan high marks for her response. Very high marks. She told them, well, all we're doing is just loving the people with God's love that show up. All we're doing is loving the people with God's love who show up. You see, to me, that's one of the exciting things about what we can do. They show up with some other intent and maybe some other purpose for what they're doing, and we can share God's love with them. We don't even have to, seriously, now that Trunk or Treat's been going for a couple of years now, we really don't even have to advertise it. Jan got calls all day. The phone never stopped ringing. With the bad weather, are you still going to have trunk or treat? Yes, we're still going to do it. And people came, and we could show them God's love. On a day that, yes, some people feel like what's being celebrated should not be celebrated, why can't we as Christians take it back and celebrate it for what it really is? All Hallows' Eve, the day before All Saints' Day, and 2 days before All Souls' Day, religious holidays. That's where Halloween gets its name, by the way. All Hallows' Eve. Why can't we take it back and show people God's love? Why can't we reach out? And you see, someone called the church this week to say, I can't believe you're doing what sinners do. Jesus got the same response. Do you guys see what Jesus did? He went to the house of a sinner to have supper with him. What a crime that is. We celebrated trunk or treat because some people wanted to celebrate ghouls and goblins, and we gave them God's love in exchange. Isn't that incredible? Amen. Let them talk about us for doing something bad, because what we did was something good. An outreach opportunity to share with some people God's love. That's what Jesus is doing with Zacchaeus. He is so impressed that Zacchaeus is willing to set aside his own character and his own standing and his own status within the town of Jericho, that Zacchaeus runs to a tree because he knows that Jesus is going that way and gets up that tree so that he can see Jesus pass by. That's all he wanted. And Jesus said, just because you're willing to do that, Zacchaeus, and put aside your whole image, I want to come to your house today for supper. And I want to join you for supper. Wow. Can you imagine how Zacchaeus felt? People are blasting Jesus, but you know what happens? Eating a meal led to a transformed heart for Zacchaeus. Eating a meal with Jesus, a very simple meal, I'm sure, because I don't think Zacchaeus had time to plan for Jesus to come. He says, get out of the tree. I'm coming to your house. You think Jesus got leftovers? Maybe he did. But it led to a transformed heart for Zacchaeus. A completely transformed heart. And he looked at Jesus and he said, I will give away half of everything that I have. And if I have cheated anyone, I will pay them back four times what I cheated them out of. Now, here's the amazing thing. I'm pretty sure we can be assured that Zacchaeus cheated some folks. He was a chief tax collector. He didn't make sure just the taxes were collected. He made sure more than the taxes were collected so that he could pay his underlings and that he would get paid. Do you see what kind of transformed heart this is? Zacchaeus lives completely out of character, and then he has a transformation that happens that he says, I will change the way that I live. I will give away half of everything that I got, and if I have cheated anyone, I will not just pay them back, but I will pay them back four times what they were cheated out of. Oh, that the IRS would do that for us. Could you imagine that refund check? Four times what you feel like you've been cheated out of. By the way, don't get me wrong. Scripture does say pay your taxes. Romans chapter 12, 13, and 14 talk about some of the civil things that we should do to live. And it does say pay your taxes. And Jesus also says what? Give to Caesar what is Caesar's? And give to God what is God's. Zacchaeus has a changed heart. And this transformed heart then led Zacchaeus to a transformed lifestyle. He changed his lifestyle. And if you don't believe that, I want you to think about giving away half of everything you've got. Half of everything you have. That includes your savings account, your checking account. That includes your retirement fund. That includes anything you've got stashed away anywhere else. Half. Would that not transform your life? Would that not transform how you're going to live from that day on out if you gave away half? Let alone considering now you're going to pay back four times anybody that you cheated. Y'all are Christians, so you've never done that. You've never gotten the wrong change back and walked out of the store anyway. You've never cheated a waiter or a waitress out of a tip. Even if they did a bad job. How would that transform your life? How would that change the way that you live? You know, one of the things we learn about these stories, and we learn about what happened in Scripture. Do you realize it's not just for your information? It's meant for your transformation. It is meant for your transformation. For too long now, churches have been about information, not transformation. What happened to Zacchaeus that day should happen to all of us. We should be willing to, in spite of what other people think, go all out to see Jesus. To go all out to see Jesus. To go all out to have a deeper relationship with God. If that means running when we don't run. If that means climbing a tree so that we can see better? If that means going against the grain of the culture that we live in so that we can grow closer to God, that's transformation, isn't it? That's transformation. And until we allow these words of Scripture to transform our hearts, we're not going to have a transformed lifestyle. I know. You don't like change, right? If you don't like change, raise your hand. Come on, don't be bashful. If you don't like change, raise your hand. If you don't like change, you shouldn't be a Christian. Think about that for a minute. If you don't like change, you shouldn't be a Christian. Because having a relationship with God is about getting a heart transformed so a lifestyle can be transformed. Shall I change the word transform? Having a relationship with God is about having a changed heart so that you can have a changed life, so that you can have a changed lifestyle, so that you can have a changed vision, so that you can have a changed feeling about other people and about knowing that if they die without Jesus Christ as their Savior, that they will be eternally damned. That's what it's about. If you don't like change, then you shouldn't be a Christian. Because being a Christian is about allowing God to change us. Allowing God to transform us. Allowing God to mold us and remake us. Being a Christian is about changing this world. Being a Christian is about changing our town. Being a Christian is about changing our brothers and sisters because we share with them about what work God wants to do in and amidst and among us. Are you willing to be completely out of character and not care what other people think? Are you willing to live completely against culture? Because the total American idea is what? He who dies with the most toys wins. Isn't that the American dream? He who dies with the most toys wins. And Jesus says, he who is the biggest servant wins. That's two different ideas, in case you haven't noticed. That is two different ideas. And there's too many people that are trying to hold both of those ideas together and say, this is what it means to be a Christian. And that's so wrong. Zacchaeus was willing to be completely out of character because he wanted to know God better. He was willing to be laughed at. I'm sure people were laughing at him while he was running. What do you think? Look, there goes that short little guy. Look at him run. Come on, people were saying that, weren't they? Look at that short dude run. He's one of the biggest people here in town. He's running. Oh, watch him now. He's climbing the tree. What a fool. What a idiot. What a dummy. What is he doing? And Jesus walks by and says, Zacchaeus, come on down. I'm going to have supper with you today. Are you willing to go all out? Because God needs some people that are willing to go all out. So I'll leave you thinking about this question. Are you willing to forego what others say and think about you to have a better look at Jesus? Are you willing to forego what others say and think about you to have a better look at Jesus? That's who Jesus is looking for. Let's pray. Lord, what an incredible thing to see a man of high status, of high image, in a community that maybe didn't respect him, but did acknowledge his position. To watch him go all out just because he wanted to spend a few moments getting to know you better. And in those moments, his heart was transformed, causing a transformed lifestyle. A lifestyle that wanted to do things right. And I'm sure a lifestyle that wanted to know no more about Jesus. If he was willing to be a laughing stock as he ran and climbed a tree, I'm sure, Lord, that he did what he could to know you better. And Lord, the truth is you're looking for some folks that are willing to do the same. To go all out in spite of what others say. In spite of what our culture says. In spite of what our community says. So Lord, help us that we can be those people. Help us that we would go all out. That we too might be transformed in a way that would lead to other people in this community being transformed because they saw what happened in us. Lord, guide us and direct us this morning in the decisions that we need to make right now. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.